Diversity in Yachting. I'm your host, Gabriela, and today we are joined with the lovely Sol Velasco. She is my first Central American guest I've had on the show, and I'm super excited to hear about her yachting journey. Solimar is from El Salvador, and she is currently a deckhand on a motor yacht in Gibraltar, and I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell us a little bit about how she got into yachting. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Hi, Gabby. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
You're welcome.
It's amazing being here, and thank you so much for the opportunity. Yeah. My name is Sol, like you said. I'm 29 years old. I'm proudly from El Salvador. It's in Central America. It's not in Brazil. It's not a town in Mexico. You know? Like, I have to be deadly clear about this because not many people know where is El Salvador. But I'm really proud to be from there. And I'm here in Gibraltar at the moment. Weather is just beautiful now, which is weird. You know, we just came out of a really heavy winter season. So I'm excited to talk to you.
Me too. And thank you so much for making time while you're on the vessel. I know it's super hard to do that, so I appreciate it. So you're a deckhand. So I looked at your CV and it doesn't say deck stew, and it doesn't say stew deck or anything about interior. It's all deckhand. These are my certifications, these are my licenses, and I'm a deckhand. And I love that, because for me, I have to be a deck stew because I, for some reason, I'm stuck in this stewardess/deckhand limbo. No one will hire me as a deckhand as of right now. I'm sure in the future that will happen. But right now, if I want to work, if I want to get a job, I have to be a deck stew, which hopefully will come to an end this season. But I love that about, first of all, you're gorgeous. Second of all, you are badass because you've been doing this for a while and I've seen your certificates. So when you decided to join, were you like, I'm going to be a deckhand, I'm not even gonna, you know, step a toe in the stewardess world, or how did this happen?
Well, definitely, I've been doing this since 2014. Now it seems like it's been a long time, but it's just feels like it was yesterday, you know. Definitely, I learned my lesson, because when I start to do this on my CV, I used to put like deck / stew, and it just wasn't for me, you know, like, I think every position on board is meant to be for somebody who's like 100% committed to that. And that's why we are here for Gabby. I mean, I'm sure you're going to be a deckhand. When I started to do this job, my first month doing the work, it was on about 42 meters, initially as a stewardess. And it was so tough because to start, my English wasn't good. I mean, it's still not the best. I just struggle, like, you know, in the Spanish, we put the sentence in the other way around and I'm still doing those mistakes. But when I started yachting, I didn't even speak English. My English, it was so basic. So when I went to do my CCW, I remember going after the class during the day, going at the night at the place that I was staying at to translate the whole booklet to study to present my exam for accomplish the course of the CCW next morning. Wow. And be able to pass it because I wanted so badly. And I remember that I was learning between 20 and 25 new words in English every single day. And then I joined this vessel as a stewardess. And eventually the chief stew, she just said that she can't keep me because I'm not happy enough. And she doesn't seem that I can fit on the boat. But to be honest, I didn't understand the jokes they were throwing on the on the crewmates because my English wasn't great. And then I was studying for like 2-3 hours every night for 3 months. And then in some point, it's just blossomed. And I was able to understand like different accents. I remember I had South African, I have people from the United States, I have British. It was just a diversity. And even the communication on the radio, it used to make me shake. I was just so nervous. And then eventually, after 1 month, she said that she can't keep me. Then I went back to the same yacht, but I was hired as a deckhand from the captain because luckily it was a she. And at that moment, Sally, which was my first captain, he was 28. So she was just like an amazing role model to follow. Mm-hmm. And she teach me everything she could during that year that I stay on board. And it was just like the first taste of it. And it was challenging. And I think if you've never been doing this before, and in a deckhand position, it can be very pushy, even physically, emotionally, like the cultural barriers that we cross. You work with so different people, you leave your country, everything is just a crash, you know, but in somehow you manage to put yourself together. And just for the sake of that full feeling that you get in the end of the day, that you learned something new.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's so nice to hear that you had a female captain to take you under her wing and really mold you as the deckhand that you wanted to be. I think everyone needs that mentor and needs a chance to shine. And some people don't get that chance because of the way they look or because of, you know, their size or the fact that they're because of their gender or whatever, or their sexuality, whatever it is. And I think that's why it's important to have these conversations, because that's what needs to happen. Because there's so many great, talented, skilled people out there that aren't getting put in these opportunities. And, you know, people like you come out on top. Like, hey, I've been a deckhand for 7 years. I know what I'm doing. And, you know, people like that need to be visible. Like, we need to see it. We need to hear more of these stories about women in the industry that are not on the interior. That are not, you know, I want to hear more about captains and first officers and bosuns that are women, you know, and I think that it's super cool and kind of motivating for me to keep pushing to become a deckhand, because trust me, I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm doing day work again, just as a deckhand. I'm starting from the beginning, just so I can start pushing all of the stew work off of my CV.
That's great, Gabby. I remember when I finished the period on my first yacht, then I dog walking and just like, you know, knocking doors to get my next opportunity. And it was really tough. I remember like holding for like 3 months, jobless. And I'm sure the people out there who knows the reality about how is the life in Latin America is an absolutely different world. To start, salaries. I mean, when you live abroad, it's a completely different story, because even if you say, okay, they can get paid what the minimum rate in Europe at least is like 2,500 euros. But in El Salvador, for example, the salary, a monthly basic salary is $300 per month. So, and what does that mean? The people is earning $10 per day just to make the living. And when the basics of solving you, like electricity bills and food in El Salvador, you need at least $192. So how is possible even to like do a like a side savings for build a house, like, you know, just to make your dreams happen. Mm-hmm. So in those 3 months, I remember that I didn't know, like, not much people around. I was in Europe, jobless, not many contacts, not much money in the bank. I mean, I was running out of chances, you know. And then I just took whatever came in on my way. And I was just like, okay, I'll even take on a stewardess position. I don't care. I just need to jump on a boat and just be there. And then maybe when I'm there, I can prove that I can do a decent job, you know? Yeah. But unfortunately, it just doesn't work in that way.
I know. That's what I thought too. You think, let me get my foot in the door by working on a yacht so I can at least put that I have yacht experience on my CV. But the more and more stew positions they see, they're going to see that that's what you've been trained to do. So then it's hard to make the jump back into deck work, you know, and hard to prove that you can do it because they don't see it on your CV. So I get that. I am curious though, how did you get from, first, how did you find out about yachting? Because I don't know, I've never been to El Salvador, but I don't think that it's a big yachting hub. So
we only have like one main port, which is El Puerto de Cajutla, and there is just like it's just a commercial port, you know. And only in 2014, I was lucky enough to interview the captain from Asamara, which is like a big cruise ship, and it was like the first time that a cruise ship come to El Salvador, because that was my previous job experience. I used to TV host and radio host back in the days in El Salvador.
Wow.
And travel around Latin America doing extreme sports and like knowing about culture, showing people like about gastronomy,
kind of like
nightlife.
I was gonna ask, yep. Was it like travel shows that you hosted? Like,
yeah, 100%.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was good experience, but then you know, I'm sure all of us, we go through hard experiences in our life, and I lost my significant other at that time, so then I was just like, okay, what else can I do here? Like, I've lost everything and I have to start everything from the scratch. So then I met somebody else, and this somebody else, it turns to be an amazing chef on yachts. And then he was the one who put me on the map. And then eventually I was just, you know, changed my life in like a matter of days.
Oh my gosh. That is an incredible story. I've seen your Instagram. And, you know, I can't tell from your Instagram what your life was like before yachting, you know, but that's not what I was expecting at all. A travel show host, interviewing a cruise ship captain, and then everything kind of unfolded from there. The universe conspired to put you in this position, which that's incredible. So
100%.
So El Salvador, you know, for people that don't know much about it, it's kind of hard to get out of, right? Because like you said, it's kind of, you know, socioeconomically, there's not a lot of money there. It's a poor country. So there might not be a lot of opportunities to get out, to go do, to, you know, adventure out into the world and travel or so on and so forth, maybe education. So when you decided, you were already doing all those things because of your previous career, but when you decided to join yachting after you met the chef, was your family or your friends concerned or resentful or jealous? Because I know our culture, being Latino, we're very family oriented. Yeah, we're supposed to stay together forever and live in the same house and take care of each other. So were people like thinking you were crazy to do this, or was everyone supportive?
Well, actually, I stopped living with my mom since the age of 18. Like, since very little, I have very clear in my head the day I turn 18, I want to be out of my home. And I want to start to do my own thing. Yeah, I mean, I was just like, I couldn't wait to, like, you know, have my own, like, legal independence. I work since I'm 14. So I save a lot of money to be ready when I'm turn 18 to be out of home. So at the time when I joined this industry, I was already detached in that sense from my family. Mm-hmm. So I just remember when I got the news that I can be part of this industry and I can go to Palma and find a job. It was a Tuesday. By a Friday, I was already in Palma, but I came on Thursday to tell my mom and my grandma and my siblings, hey, actually, I'm leaving tomorrow and I don't know when I'm coming back, you know. So,
and that was 7 years ago. I haven't seen him since.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. No, literally, I go to El Salvador every 2 years maybe. Not because I don't want to, but it's kind of difficult, you know, like when you want to build a career, when you know, like, the rest of them. For example, I know so many people, they do the cadetship and start, like, when they're, like, 15, and by the age of 20, they're already officers and they have all their certificates. It's kind of different for us when you, like, join the industry like by dog walking and you don't have experience. Since my first year, I've been really committed to, like, just work. So yeah, I just get the chance to go home every, like, 2 years maybe, but it's what it is. But I keep in touch with my family. My mom prays for me every Friday, so yeah.
Well, that's good. So earlier, I was mentioning how I've never met anyone from Central America yachting. I have met two Mexican guys on a yacht in New York that I worked on, and they're brothers. And so they go everywhere together, and they always work on the same yachts, and they take care of each other. And, but I was so excited to meet them. We're talking Spanish, we're playing our music together. And it was like, you know, like, it felt like home. And I was wondering, have you encountered any other Central Americans or South Americans, Latinos around, like, since you started?
Latinos in general. Yes. I have, actually. The first person that I've met, it's from Panama, Anna. She's one of my best friends now. And then I met Paul through Anna, a Mexican guy, an amazing person as well. And I know somebody who knows a Salvadorian who's an officer, but I don't have the pleasure to meet him yet. It's just a few out there, you know, and I would love that it could be more of us. Like you said, maybe the thing I miss the most about anything in general from Latin America is to speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, I can go crazy when I, like, sometimes my yacht goes to Spain and I'm like, yeah, this is the Spanish from Spain, you know?
I bet. You can't wait to get off the boat and, like, go talk to anybody that will listen to you.
Yeah, I'm like, hola, ¿cómo estás? Yeah, absolutely brilliant about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like you said, not many people out there. And I think big part of this, it has to do with the educational system in Latin America. Not many people is, like, actually conscience about the context of what is the life there, and even less about the education system. And, like, for example, I can talk about what I know, which is El Salvador. We don't have anything like nautical careers, mariners, or anything like that. In my second year of yachting, I was just like thinking, maybe I can do like my mates, go to my country and start to do like a cadetship thing. Mm-hmm. But I realized that in El Salvador, we don't have that. So if you want to do that, you have to join the army first and serve for 2 years, and then you can be transferred to the Navy. Mm. And that's the only way that you like sort of like in touch with the career, but not specifically like you go and do the CCW and mm-hmm. all the things that we do. And the options of career in Latin America definitely are shorter than in the United States or New Zealand, Australia, or Europe in general. Mm-hmm. English-speaking countries, they have more like, it's like a fan of options, you know, like they can study to be yacht designers, they can be engineers. Mm-hmm. For us, it's not like that. So I think that it has a lot to do, like the options of the educational system in every single one of these countries is a little bit more reduced. I am aware that in Panama, they have same like sort of programs
right
to study, but you know, if you want to do that as a Salvadorian, then I have to be able to go and live in Panama. Mm-hmm. And that's a difficult thing to do. Not many people is like, they don't have the opportunity to do these things.
Or the means, because the price of these classes are to go to maritime school. And how can someone that makes $300 a month, how long will that take to save? That's with not including your living expenses, you know? So it definitely is a privilege to be able to travel to the places where you can get the education, and another privilege to be able to afford to pay for the courses to work in this industry.
Yeah.
So it's definitely imbalanced. And if, you know, someone were to start a maritime school, it would have to be a nonprofit with donations to give people scholarships to go to the school. Right?
Definitely. Or just the governments to like open their minds and think there is like more options that people can actually do to make the country grow.
Right.
I mean, El Salvador territory, like half of the country, it's water.
Yeah.
Like, we are in the Pacific coast and we have more rights over the water than the land, you know. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, over the past times, the governments have not seen ahead like what the like the new generations can do. Mm-hmm. Like typically there are people that study to be a lawyer, accountant, you know. I'm not saying that it's no good or it's not right, but life, it doesn't stop there. I mean, people can have dreams and like, you know, dream about to be like an engineer or something and have the opportunity to do that. Unfortunately, in El Salvador, we have only one national university and people apply for this university, but not everybody get the chance to get into the university because the demand is so high and the spaces are just mm-hmm. such a few. And then if you want to go to the university and you don't made it to the national university, then you have to go to private university. And if I'm not wrong, I think the cheapest one is like $60 per month. Plus, every 6 months, you have to pay like $200 for the inscription. So,
right.
You know,
so the yachting
system is.
I was just going to say, so yachting would be a great way to help the economy and also give people more options and career choices and education. That's huge. So would it be safe to say you're the only one, the only Salvadorian yachty like in the world?
I'm definitely based on my journalist Friends Resources. I'm the only woman who does private yachting. Yes. So I'm very blessed to be the first one. Yeah.
Well, making yourself visible and sharing your story is what's going to open doors for other young women that, you know, look like you in terms of, you know, being Latina, being from Central America. And that's what we're trying to do, right? I do have another question on that topic is, did you ever feel, you know, or were you ever in a position where someone didn't hire you or underestimate you because you're a woman or because you're Latina? Have you ever gotten any weird comments or just been felt that you were being treated differently than your male counterparts because of your ethnicity or because of your being a woman?
I definitely been pulled to the interior more often than the boys.
Oh, right, for right. Sure. To help, absolutely. I can see that.
yeah.
First of all, okay. men are clumsy. First of all, they're clumsy. You know, like I can't imagine them like trying to juggle multiple plates and put stuff down. They can't multitask. They're slow. You know, these things don't come naturally.
Well, definitely, I'm not the best stewardess. Like I tried, and you know, funny story is in Latin America we don't have duvets. We don't have thick duvets because it's hot here. We just have like thin sheets, and I remember on my first yacht, the chief still told me to put the duvet in the washing machine. I put the entire thing, and she went nuts with me, and I was just like, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry, I didn't know that you can't wash it." I never seen a duvet before.
Right? How would we know that though, naturally? That's the thing. In the beginning, I was a horrible stewardess in the beginning too. I finally am to a place where I'm confident in what I'm doing, but I had so many silly mistakes like that to the chiefs do, it's common sense, but to someone like us that are more naturally inclined to be more, you know, mechanical minded or like, you know, more into tools or like sports or athleticism, like sometimes that stuff isn't common sense. I'm sorry. I didn't know that, you know, I couldn't just wash everything together.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've all been.
Well, definitely to answer your question, I wouldn't, from the Latino or just a different kind of a non-European or non-American crew member, treat different, maybe not in the sense that I've been treated equally in that matter. But sometimes it comes across with things for like food taste or like, you know, language barriers when people like have get upset with me because I don't get it in the first time. Because maybe they speaking in a slang and I don't get it, or the accent, and I'm like, excuse me, can you repeat that, please? You know, in that sense, maybe not. But as a woman, we constantly hear experiences nowadays about female captains, female engineers, you know, like the heads of a yacht. Mm-hmm. We just heard like a few stories about the juniors, and that's like seeing the things from below. It's different.
Yeah.
But I remember in one of my yachts, I got hired initially as a deckhand, and then eventually they start like a sale process. So they start to let go of people, and they kept me. But they say, so you're going to cook for the rest of the crew. You're going to do interior. You're going to help on deck. And you're going to assist the engineer when he needs it. And I'm like, yeah, that's not a problem. for how long is gonna last this situation? And he turned and he say, I don't know. So then I remember that like 10 months after we got a charter going on during like in the very middle of the summer. We thought that nothing was going on in the summer for us because we were on sale. But from the nowhere, they decided that we're going to do some charters. So they started to recruit crew. And I was in chats with the heads of the department. And I'm like, so when the rest of the crew comes, can I go back on deck? And they were like, no, actually, no, because you know the interior better. So we'd rather for you to stay inside than go back outside. And for me, as being a junior and a woman as well, it's so hard to come and step up and ask questions or like, you know, just try to like clear your head with the right answers without sound cocky or disrespectful, which is really important because I've seen so many young people on yachts, they like start and they come with a cocky attitude. And in this industry, it's ruled by ranks. So, and it's really hard to sometimes for me make questions without like people perceiving the like the sense of I'm giving an attitude back. So, and I said, but I also know very well the deck on this yacht. And he turned and said, no, we actually rather some muscles outside. So we just list some few guys already. And I realized that they hire even green deckhands when I already had some experience. And I was just like really hurt. And I was just like, I think this is the moment when I need to start to look for a new yacht, you know?
Because you don't want to work for someone that would say something like that and overlook you and assume that you're not as strong as someone else because you're a female. You know, there's been times on deck where, you know, I'm the smallest person. And when you're, you know, when you're pulling a fender over the rail and you're like, well, I'm 120 pounds and I'm 5'3". A fender is the same size as me. So when sometimes when people are watching me try to pull a fender, you know, on board, I like that no one is like, let me get that for you. Or, oh, here, let me help you. I like that. But, you know, I see people giggling because I'm sure it looks funny with me doing all this weird motions. And I'm like, ah, and I finally get it. And, you know, sometimes I kind of trip a little bit or whatever. And so I understand maybe the perspective, like we need someone that can pull it up on the first try and someone bigger, someone taller, someone stronger. But, you know, over time, when you've been doing it enough, you get used to it and everything becomes muscle memory and you get stronger and you need that opportunity instead of someone just giving up on you and just hiring a man with less knowledge than you in that area. Because yeah, they may be stronger, but it's gonna take time.
100%. I remember in my first year, I was so weak. Yes. I remember my first yacht, I was so weak. And then the captain just started to take me like 5 a.m. to the gym. And she's like, we're going to start to train. So and I'm like, okay, fine. And we used to finish like around 7 p.m. every day and waking up like at 4:45 to go to the gym. And eventually you build up. And you get stronger, but you suffer a little bit in the beginning. Now, like you say, I'm your same height. It's like 1.57 meters. You know, I'm only small, but I know my limits. And I think that's important as a female on deck. Like, know the right time when to say, I'm sorry, but I can't do this. Like, be humble enough to say, I need help. I need help with this, or I don't know how to do this and that. And it's just knowing what are you capable of. Luckily, on this boat, we are four on deck. The rest of them are men, but they are gentlemen in the sense they will open the door for me. But on deck, we work equally. On board, we have lines of 60 meters, 40 meters. And I mean, we all get on with that, you know.
Yeah.
I do it on my way. I mean, the line is super heavy and it's way bigger than me. But eventually, you build up a strength. And I've worked with other females on other yachts before when they, it's like their first experience, and they were like, why are the boys not helping us? Why are the boys this and this and that? And I'm like, you need to get stronger. Like, you can't ask for help for everything because people need you to be on the top of it or on a step ahead. Right. And that's what I learned so far. Like, try to be on a step ahead of everyone, because in the end, if I'm not tall enough, if I'm not strong enough, what is the characteristic that it makes me special to stay on board? You know,
that makes you an asset. You want to make yourself an asset. You want to make everybody's job easier, and you want to bring something to the table. You don't want to be a hindrance. You don't want to be the weak link. And you definitely, if you have to stop your crew member every 5 minutes to be like, how do you do this? Can you help me lift this? Can you do, then you're taking them away from their project and their task at hand, which is just slowing down the entire team. And that is what actually gives women on board a bad name, or women on deck a bad name. That's not the way to go. That if it's one thing to be humble and admit, like you said, I don't know how to do this, or I can't lift this. But if you're just using that as an excuse to get out of work, or, you know, to be, I don't know, whatever people think, then it's going to ruin it for the rest of us and those of us that are good on deck, you know?
Yes. I remember for this current yacht that I'm on, they say they were needing somebody with a lot of experience and very strong. And I said, I have some years on deck, but it's many things that I don't know how to do. For example, how to use a crane.
Yeah.
Things like that. And the officer asked me, how you don't know how to do this? And it's not playing the woman card. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it was like, in every yacht, or most of them, not saying all of them, mm-hmm. But in most of them, who gets the opportunity to operate or to drive them, like the main tender, mm-hmm, or mm-hmm, things like that, is usually just the bosun or the chief officer or the lead deckhand. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, we will teach you eventually. We'll teach you in the future. We're going to have some time.
They never do. And then they never do.
We know that it's never time. I mean, we run out of the clock every single day.
Yeah.
And if you don't, yeah. And they were like, we teach you eventually. And it's never time for that. So I learned how to be verbal and that honest. Like, I don't know how to do this. Please, can you teach me? Or, you know, and I remember one of my captains one day told me, and they say, so not everybody will be willing to teach you things. So sometimes you have to learn things for yourself.
Yeah.
I learned that lesson.
That's true. Oh, man. There's so much to digest here because I think you are also the only female deckhand I've spoken to on the show as well. So, you know, hearing all of this that you've gone through, how hard you worked to get to where you are, you know, and how your career has gone is super inspiring, not only for me, but there's so many other female deckhands out there that are trying to work their way up. And it's just been so refreshing and so nice to hear your perspective. Seriously, because I've kind of been stuck in a rut lately and kind of like down and like over the industry kind of in a way, because I was getting a little bit discouraged. So speaking to you has really kind of like lifted my spirits and like makes me want to get back on the horse and try again, you know? So thank you for that. And thank you for making time for me.
No, thank you to put me on the spot and be free to speak about this. Like I said, usually we see like the heads of departments speaking about these things and not from a junior perspective. Like I said, sometimes it's difficult to come forward and express our concerns, express like how we feel about the work. Like every day on deck is a learning process. And the yacht that I'm currently on, it's a new build. So like when we came here, we didn't even have uniforms. So we have to start like to build everything from the scratch. So it was kind of challenging to come and say to my officer, I think that we need this and that. I think that, you know, but he was just like encouraging enough and very supportive to say, what do you think about this? So do you think this will be better? Or like assign me tasks that I've never done before. Now I know how to manage a crane, maybe slower than the rest of the boys. I need more practice.
Well, that's and great. At least you finally, you got the basics, okay? We start. Everyone needs to start somewhere.
Yes.
Great.
I'm sure you can find the right place to start again, Gabby. Sometimes I think to take a step forward and move on from the place you are, sometimes you have to take two steps back. Because mm-hmm. things sometimes doesn't seem the same when you're too close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I agree with that 100%. I'm really big on listening to myself, like my body, listening to my mind. Mental health is very important to me. So if I feel like I'm starting to roll downhill and not be so positive or hopeful about something, I will definitely pump the brakes and digest and try to unpack what's going on. And I think that, yeah, my frustration was coming from a place of, this is not going the way that I thought it was going to go, or this is not going the way I wanted to go. I've seen some evolution to where in the beginning, I just hated being a stew. I hated it. Literally, there wasn't one thing I could say that I liked about it. But I've gotten to a place now where I like it. I'm not super duper passionate about it, but I know that I'm a good stew and I have a lot of growing to do and I like it. So that's cool. Great. At least that. But I do know that I thrive on deck and I love being outside and I love learning new things in terms of, you know, boat maintenance. And I love learning about the engine room, you know, and I just want to be true to myself. And I think that any boat that hires me will get the best out of me if they put me in a position that I love, you know, or anybody actually. Where do these people thrive the best? Is it inside or outside? So I think that I'm getting to a place now where I'm just going to be more firm and get more certifications. I was looking at your CV like, okay, I mean, I need to get this one still. I need to get this one.
So definitely. It's been a long way. I mean, I'm still a deckhand. I'm not even like bosun on anything yet. And I've been pushed a lot from some people. They tell me like, you should go and do this and that. You should be at this time. Like, come on, it's been more than 5 years. You should be a bosun now. Mm-hmm. And it's not lack of confidence. I do believe to be able to be on a senior position, I just imagine myself like my junior's crew members making questions to me that I can't answer because I wasn't prepared enough for this position. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that you need to nail the basics first. Mm-hmm. And I'm still working on them. Right now, I have an amazing supporting team. My captain is all over about the education So I get a lot of support from that here. Officers, the bosun, everything is good. So you have to surround yourself from the right people as well.
Yes, that's absolutely true. You want to be in an environment where you feel supported, that's uplifting, that you want to be around people that motivate you, that you're like, oh, I want to be like you one day, or I want to have as much knowledge as you one day. That's very essential to developing crew members, right? Is like making them feel like they can be better, but without putting them down. And that's kind of really hard to find, it seems, in our industry.
Yes.
I feel like everyone is so quick to make you feel stupid for asking a question. A lot of people that I encounter, their attitude is like, ugh, how do you not know that? And it can be very discouraging. Like you said, if you're away from your country, you don't speak the language, you don't know anybody, and you're new to the position, it's just like, it can be very disheartening sometimes, but you have to believe in yourself and you have to do what you can to educate yourself, whether that's YouTube or watching videos or getting on your Facebook networks and asking questions. Like, you have to do your part too, so you can earn that respect, right?
100%. Yeah, now we are doing a lot of navigation. So every time that I have my lookout on the bridge, I'm like, just like shooting questions to my officer. I'm like, what about this and that? Now ask me, please. So we like make our study program to be ready for the next step. Right now, I think all of us, we're kind of stuck with the COVID situation, but it's about to put yourself up and just believe that you can, you know, because in the end, I think we all have ourselves. That's it.
And you know what? That's a great place to end this interview. It's been so great getting to know you, Sol. And thank you so much for your time. You're an inspiration to me, and I'm sure so many other young women out there that want to join the industry. So thank you so much for that. And I'm just, like, speechless. I'm like, I'm going to sign up for a class next week.
That's great. That's the attitude that we need, Gabby.
So thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, everyone at home that's watching Diversity in Yachting. I'm your host, Gabriela. This is Sol. And we will see you next week on our next episode of Diversity in Yachting. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ciao, Gabby. Ciao. Te veo.